Blog Talk Radio.
Liftoff of Mission 41B, the first flight of the Orbiter Discovery, and the shuttle has cleared the tower. Liftoff of Mission 41B, the first flight of the Orbiter Discovery, and the shuttle has cleared the tower.
There we go. Damn thing. I blame giant alien eggplant zombies for that mistake, everybody. But they're only here to prevent us from having a conversation with probably one of the most creative mindsets I've ever had the honor of knowing. I give you, of course, the famous, the good-looking, Racine native, the fantastically cool, man among men, the best critter balloon animals you will meet this lifetime or any other, I give you, of course, Jason Love. Good afternoon, sir.
How's it going, Wayne?
Real good, sir. Real good. So, why don't you tell us a little about what you and about yourself and what got you involved with the Creative Academy, sir?
Sure. That's a very open-ended, could go either way, really long or could do it really short. Do you have a preference? Or somewhere in the middle, I guess.
Take all the middle would be fine. Take all the time you need. We're here to help people become educated, not only what you do and how important the Creative Academy is.
Sure. So I was going to, how far to go back? So when I was a kid, I got interested in magic, and I was always kind of a creative kid. It's sort of funny because, I'll touch back on that in a minute from the story, but so it was into magic. Went to college at a liberal arts school. Met a buddy there who was also interested in performing, so we got to go. We went to clown school that doesn't exist anymore. We would go during our spring breaks and go. We performed down in New Orleans. We'd go down to Florida and perform. We basically make enough money for our trips. And we perform on the streets. So I would never have done that if it wasn't for the fact that, I met somebody who was also interested in sort of flame that or fan that flame. And then after college, I was fortunate enough to get a contract. My undergrad degree is in psychology, so I was fortunate enough to get a contract with Six Flags Theme Park. And so bringing it back to the creative child, I remember when some of my buddies that I went to, middle school and high school with, they were, we were all like, oh, what do you do? And I'm a professional magician. And the one was like, yeah, that makes sense. Because when we were kids, I always would come up with goofy projects that we could do. I remember, I wanted to do, soapbox derby. I tried to build, a glider, a hang glider, mm-hmm. Just at my house. Just stuff like that. I was always constantly I need to do something. I was never good at doing the research on it, so usually I'm a little better at that now. But so that's come into my adulthood as, I was a professional magician. And then, 2008, economy had some issues, Six Flags. Cut all their contracts, did everything in-house, and anyone who got hired through in-house was getting paid, basically high school. Good money for a high schooler, but not very good money for someone, who's trying to make a living doing it. And so so from there, I started a t-shirt printing company. I've done some web design work. I've done, what else have I done? Some freelance, freelance artwork. And most of that is around stuff that I learned specifically for doing the magic business. It was I had a website. Now that I think about it, it was pretty early on for somebody who was doing, magic, for a magician back in, I had a website probably around 2004. And, they were still pretty early on. Today everyone has a website, where back then, only the larger – there were websites out there, but you didn't – today there's an expectation that everyone has to have a website, especially if you're a business. And at that time, there was that expectation gave me an edge, and I think that's how I got that contract, was they were impressed because most performers. And most performers who had a website, they didn't look very good because they were just slapped together. So I actually got some skills in that, and part of that is just that mentality of have of like, I want to play with things, I want to try new things, I want to learn new things. And so that brings us up today where I'm doing food and magic shows. I'm doing a mix of stuff right now, kind of a mix of all the things I've mentioned. So I do a little bit of magic. I'm also award-winning balloon twister, and that I kind of picked up when I was in college. And that comes and goes depending on a variety of things. So like when I was doing Six Flags, I didn't really do a lot of balloon twisting, but now I do more balloon twisting because part of it depends on how many other magicians are around at the time, competition, sort of what people are looking for. I've been doing a lot of events with like large corporation throwing events. So like that becomes like this cyclical thing where maybe it was 2 weeks ago, I was doing magic for, Jack Daniel's whiskey. And then, you know, before that I was doing stuff for some big bank corporation that is initials PNL or some weird name. So it becomes a little bit of this like cycle of what the greater economy is doing affects what I do. Or even too, I do a lot of library shows and a few school shows. And so sometimes their funding can come and go, and they get, you know, during kind of nervous times. We're still kind of in a nervous time as far as funding for some of the libraries. And right. So then they have to kind of like tighten the reins a little bit and a little bit harder to get in there. So, So today I call myself a educator and entertainer. I also have done, I'll get brought in once in a while to do educational events. So I taught myself animation. So I do animation workshops. I'll do comic book workshops. I have self-published a comic book. So that, that's something I can also teach. I just did one around science where it's basically the UW Extension program was looking for someone to teach science events. And so it's like, well, I have all this, I can basically take my, my performance experience and art experience and, you know, put on these events. And so I just finished that up and that went really well. It was super stressful, but went really well.
I've known you for a couple of years now, Jason, sir, and I have to say I'm very impressed with what you do. I'm also enamored of the fact that you see opportunities where other people see blank walls, where people would give up their hands and say, I can't do this, whatever. I see out there doing it. And if one thing doesn't work out well, you figure out what you might have done wrong, you fix it, you go on. And that, to me, makes you a really true leader of the creative economy versus sitting around and bitch, you're out there doing it.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's a hard one. It'd be like, you know, I get asked every once in a while about that. It's one of those things where a lot of my opportunities kind of just come up. So being active, and I actually, you know, get angry at myself or not. I'm not great at schmoozing or doing, like, you know, some people are really good at going to art events and then like making connections. I'm not really super good at that. So I basically, my secret to the minuscule success I've had surviving artist is keep doing work, and then people see the work. And I would say the most important part is putting the work out there. So, you know, a lot of times when I get hired for something, it's just somebody might have found me in like a random thing, and it's just, I just keep working. And so, and working with like, you know, quotations. So, because some of it is really work, and then like most of it, even if I was not making any money, I would still be, I mean, even like performing, although I don't want that to be my primary business anymore, even though that's a good chunk of my income. I'd like to get more into mass media. Even with like performing, it's people will hear me from like another person who's booked me, or, you know, someone who wants a website. They're like, oh, you know, might be just chatting about websites, or they say, hey, I heard you did this. And so, yeah, it's just all about doing the work and putting it out there and having people see it. And then it kind of becomes this slow moving train that sometimes slows down and sometimes speeds up. So,
well, I will disagree with you because only one aspect is I found in my own life. When you think it's a slow moving train, it's only because you don't see the events going around you. It's my strong opinion, based on how well I know you, sir, is far more people know of you than you might think. And sometimes situations with themselves prevent them from giving you that phone call, sending you that email saying, hey, I got this job, might you be interested in it? But I do want to say that you're a very, very hardworking person, sir. And if anybody will get ahead because of hard work, perseverance, and skills, it'd be you, sir.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, you are right. Because I know part of it is just as a performer, like I know January will be slow. I know November's traditionally slow, although I've had some really, sometimes it peaks depending on, December's usually busy because part of it is, you know, Christmas and stuff like that. And so then even like activity events, you know, during Christmas, especially because I do a lot of stuff with kids, you know, kids are all on vacation during Christmas or during most of December, I don't get booked for those things. So part of that is just like a built in to where most of my income comes from. Tends to be that, I guess, cyclical, seasonal would probably be a better word because it's usually specific months.
So people can check out some of your stuff online. Where might we find you? Do you have a webpage? It's, I know you do. That's what you did. Where can we find it?
Yeah. I have a myriad of webpages, but the best ones to get a hold or to see what I'm working on is Compulsive Creative is my newest project. And it's something that we're working on a Kickstarter for, and it's slowly coming up. And part of that is right now is a slow time. So I've been planning this thing for probably a year in some fashion. It's a subscription box for creatives. So it's a monthly box that you get in the mail. You open it up, and there's some type of project. And we try to make the projects not necessarily about being like a skilled artist or craftsperson. It's more about, okay, I'm going to take these things. Here's instructions, and I can either follow those instructions or I can do my own thing around whatever that theme is. And so that we're in the early stages of that, so we're not really sure yet what. We know kind of what that looks like. Yeah, I'm hoping. I know there's a lot of art boxes out there. We have a lot of advantages because I have connections. Because I've been doing podcasts as well, and with my website, some of my other websites, I have connections with artists. So my goal is to have it where, you know, someone pays. I guess is between somewhere between 20 and 30, you know, including shipping is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
We still have to do all the math on, and we're looking for manufacturers of stuff to like see if we can get discounts on things. And so all that stuff's still in the early stages, but coming up pretty quick. I forgot where I was going with that.
It's okay. It's in early stages. I'm really excited to hear about your Art in a Box project. I think it's going to be really cool. Now, will you be taking the opportunity to increase your fan base by posting pictures, perhaps, of people's projects will get done with them so they can be gain those bragging rights that people love so much?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, really the goal for us is to, and this was the goal of the website initially, even before it became the subscription box idea. Compulsive Creative is something that I guess it's like a label for people. So it's, and I'm not necessarily a big label person, but I consider myself a compulsive creative, and it's a person who simply is constantly drawn to create things, and especially new things. Although, you know, it depends on the person, but you know, for a while I did comics, and I'm like, I should do stuff on comics, and I'm like, no, I should do stuff on video. I'm starting to do YouTube videos. Maybe I should do stuff on video, and I'm like, yeah, maybe I should do stuff on these weird projects I'm doing at home with my kid. And then I'm like, well, why don't I just do all of them and call it Compulsive Creative?
So
kind of throw it under one big umbrella. And then I hate to put a date on it because I have a few people I'm working with. And so it's harder. I find it harder to schedule things, but we're going to be launching a podcast at some point. But if you watch the Compulsive Creative website, that it'll be there. And that'll be just interviewing people who are either making a living or just doing cool stuff who are compulsive creatives. And so I know we have a few big names that, I know we have one guy who's an animator. He runs his own business. I don't think he colors. I think he does almost everything else except for coloring and sound effects for his cartoons. And he's, what is it? Is it Oscars? I forget, whatever the big thing is for filmmakers. He didn't win, but he's Oscar nominated or whatever it is. And we have a couple others that do stuff for we have a YouTuber who does, that's his full-time gig, and he does kind of like pranks, more stunts. He does like stunts. So he like lived in an airplane for like a month, and that was like he made money through whatever airline, like Southwest or something, paid him to live in an airplane and then do a YouTube video. He did where he put a bed in the middle of like Times Square and like tried to sleep in it all the time. He just does goofy stunts, and that's his shtick. And so we try to get these people doing interesting, different things, and hopefully bring those people back to the, people who are listening to them to come try the boxes, because the subscription boxes, give the ideal person is someone who is having a hard time. 'Cause I know I have a hard time sometimes finding what I want to work on, and I got to go buy the equipment. And then I got to go, and then it's like, okay, now I'm doing it. So it's about inspiration, and it's about making that connection. So you were talking about online where we can share it. We're hoping to do with hashtags, and then there's a way to set up a website. So anyone that uses the hashtag, it shows up on basically a feed.
Right.
And so, that's our hope. So it'll be inspirational and a way to like connect with other creatives.
Absolutely. I mean, that to me is interesting, because you're helping support other creatives do what they do, right? At the same time, because you do that, they'll talk about you, and you expand your fan base with people then want to work with you because they see what you've done, and they can say, this is a guy who's done so much stuff, and I might be interested in working with him with a comic book, or maybe he might work with me with a comic book, or maybe I'm a school teacher, I've heard of you, I might be able to bring you in to do an animation workshop for my kids. I think that's all cool.
Sure, and I'm hoping that'll work for people who are subscribers to be able to connect, or you can use the comic book example, but like collaboration, something, or even just learning from each other. I feel like that's an important thing that some places it's easy to do, but I feel like it doesn't with the power of the internet. We should be doing it as creatives. We should be doing that more, where it's like, I have friends who are trying to make it as comic book or webcomic creators and then printing them off. And I'm like, man, you should really be doing, school events, because you can make quick money and you get to share your stuff. And so giving each other, and not saying that they have to do that, but just like it expands everyone's knowledge. It's like a collective knowledge. And so if someone else is like, hey, this thing is really working for me, maybe you should try it. Then it becomes everyone gets to learn from that, and then it helps everyone.
Absolutely, as my good friend once told me, a rising tide lifts all boats.
Sure.
It's not all about me. It's all about the community. It's all about the fan base. Because if I'm entertained, if I get your art box, say, right, and I buy it from, say, my grandson, who's 14, and look, 16, is looking for something to do, right, and I get it and he enjoys it, well, if I have that opportunity, I'll become a trust agent, and God knows if there's something else I can do via you, because I know you're worth my investment in time, resources, and materials, I'm going to make that phone call. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Sure.
Now, how do you judge the creative community in southeastern Wisconsin?
It's a hard one, because there's pockets, and I'm not super good at going to visit those. If you're talking about specifically creative, even like business stuff too, and I don't know how much you want to talk about the business side of stuff, but like some people are just really good at that, and I feel like it's not necessarily set up well for the people who aren't really good at that, where if you go to, you know, if you go to, like, a place, probably even Chicago, but I was thinking, like, New York, where there's so much stuff happening that it's easy to find stuff and to do it and not feel, like, weird about it. We're here, yeah. I know, it's a little bit harder. There's definitely stuff going on, but, you know, like, I'll attend events, and I'll just be like, some of it is very, I don't know how to put it.
I will interrupt you here. I'll describe it.
Sure.
So I can take the hit. I've been to them, as you have been, right? And I find, not all of them by any means, but I've been to so many which tend to be clicky. I tend not to want to go back. And I wish I knew how to fix that.
Right. And I think there's an issue. The word I was actually thinking was pretension, but it's not a perfect word because it depends on the event. I've definitely been to events that are amazingly welcoming, but then I've been to events. There's like the difference between the artist who creates because they love art, and then they have the artist who kind of creates, or maybe they're selling to an audience that is trying to pretend to be artistic, and they just have money. And so there's and that's kind of an issue with art in general.
And I think, to me, if somebody throws an event, say Wayne Klingman throws the event, say Wayne Klingman's Art House, and people show up, and Wayne Klingman stands up and sells art, I expect that because I know what I'm getting into. I read that in the description. If I go to Wayne Klingman's Art House and Wayne Klingman, and I read the description, he's going to open his home, let people talk about their art, whatever it might be, and then all Wayne Klingman does is talk about how great he is and everybody else sucks, I'm thinking, I just wasted my time.
Right, right. And, yeah, and it's kind of like that. I think it's a little bit more, I think part of where I see it as pretentious is what you're saying with the clickiness, where it's like they all know each other. And I'd hate to say that because I know, especially in Racine, I know if you're familiar with Boink, that's a great
yep.
event, although they mostly do, like, poets, but they have a lot
yep.
of artists. I don't go as often as I'd like, partially just because, while I love poetry, you know, for me to drive there, round trip's going to take me an hour and some, and it's in the evening, so I usually like to put my kids to bed. It just becomes something where I keep saying I'm going to go, but they're a good example of a group that, that's doing good stuff, but then there's other groups that, it feels like you automatically you're not part of the group, or they, I don't know. And again, it's, and maybe part of the problem is, you know, I could stick around and I could entertain, you know, I could probably make friends there. There's some great people there, but it's just like, I'm just going to go back and do my work and, you know, meet people that way.
That. I know with my film festival I did at Kimberly Lake, Michigan, we did workshops to lead into it to try to go and get people to know that we're all about the film, right? I didn't care what you did in film. I didn't care even if you did anything in film. If you like film, I wanted you to feel welcomed. And we took great steps to make that so, as other people do too. The last thing I want to do to anyone is make someone feel by my inaction or being stupid to make somebody think they're not welcome. I want everyone to feel the events that I'm part of, the part of the family, by simply walking in the door and saying, hi, my name is.
Yeah, that's a good example, yeah. Just by even just saying hi or having that. Because it's scary. I mean, I've gone to a few, probably more this art events this year than any. And I have to say, I've met some cool people. And it,
yeah.
But then I've also, and even like the people who don't do stuff that I'm not interested in, very cool. But then, there just becomes, if there's not somebody, there that makes you feel welcome, it can become very scary and awkward pretty quick. And then it's, you know, then it's not fun. And I'm pretty good at, like I said, I'm sort of introverted, but I'm willing to take that like first hello. And I think all the individuals are great too. It kind of depends a little bit on like location, what's going on. You know, I can't think of anyone where I'm like, oh, I don't want to hang out with that person, but it's just hard. It's hard to find stuff. I think if it was more common,
right,
easier.
Especially with young children, it can be very difficult because your time is precious, their time is precious. You know, there's things at home you have to do. Yeah, it's difficult at times to figure out what's going on. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
I see we're running up against our good friend, the clock, so let me get your readers going. Tell us we can find you again online, sir, please.
Sure, yes. The best place is compulsivecreative.com. I've been working on YouTube stuff, so if you want to just check that out, it's either jasonloveslife.com or I don't keep that super updated, so you can just go to the YouTube channel itself, and that is youtube.com/jasonloveslife. And that's L-O-V-E.
Yeah, I myself have a couple of blogs I need, web pages I need to update. But, it's a thing. And they don't update themselves, do they, unfortunately?
Yeah, it is. At one point I had probably like 10 going, and I've been slowly merging them to save my sanity a little bit. But it's a long process. So.
Right. And again, one thing I want to leave everyone here left with this and get your opinion on it quickly, if I may. It's my opinion that if you go out there and you try your very best, you know how to do, and you put out where people can find you, that over time, you will, I mean, it won't happen overnight, it won't, but as long as you put out stuff consistently, that people that think the same way that you do, at least interested in the same things that you might be, tend to find you. Do I understand that correctly, or am I on drugs?
No, I agree, but I think that's a dangerous advice sometimes as well, because I think it's good to adapt. And I think I agree, yes, if you make stuff and you do it long enough, people will find you. But I think sometimes people will take that in the wrong way, where they say, okay, I like South Park, so I'm going to make South Park videos. And then it's like, well, there's so many people doing South Park videos. You'll find somebody, but you won't get a large... You know, basically,
right.
What I mean, self programming, like inappropriate humor,
right,
you know,
I mean,
body
humor. Right.
And
right.
So, not like literally self park videos, but so I agree. I think the people who do the best are willing to adapt and adjust, and you know, ideally, their interests will change anyway, slowly over time. But yeah, overall, it's yes, but I think it can be dangerous if somebody's just doing one thing. And they've done it for, you know, a couple years and nobody's interested, it might be time to either switch or to experiment. I feel like experimentation is the key to make that
100%. And I think one thing you find out quickly with your Kickstarter or your crowdsource campaign is your fans will tell you by what they're interested in doing with the rewards levels that you set and how their interaction is. They'll tell you what they're interested in and what they're not interested in. Once you understand that communication, how that taking place, I think that will help in so many ways.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm excited to see what people are interested in.
Right. You know, and I wanted to talk about one other thing we have going on in here with Gateway Technical. We do not have the time, and perhaps we can bring you on again somewhat soon to talk about your interaction getting the business started in the Racine area. Could we do that, sir?
Yeah, that'd be great. And we could talk about, I'm working with Biz Squad as well, so that might be something interesting to people. So
very much so. English lady, unfortunately, is going to kick me off the air, then shoot me, she often threatens to do. So with great reluctance, I wish you the very best of days. I wish I had more time, but I do not, sir.
Yeah, no, it's been a pleasure being on the show. And I'm more than up, you know, I'm definitely, it'd be a pleasure to come back on.
All right, thanks again, sir. I appreciate it. You with everything you've done, sir.
All right, yep, you too. Have a good night.
So, you too, sir. Yep, bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen of the world, that is the great, famous, good-looking Jason Love, a man I have the highest respect for, one of the best people I've ever been able to work with in my life here in Racine, and that's no bullshit. Even though the Empire is good at bullshitting, especially if you're a good-looking woman, I do like my fooling, but when I say Jason Love racks out, I am not at all joking. He's a great human being. So that's all the time we have for today. I appreciate it. We got some really interesting guests coming up. Some changes coming on, too, because, you know, it's time to take action. We have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity with things going on in the world now. Talk to you later. Bye.